even get into our lesson today, could you imagine, middle of the night, you're on a ship, and all of a sudden you hear, "Land ho!" You wake up, it's middle of the night. Thank goodness the guy with Columbus was up in the lookout tower and saw that silhouette of San Salvador in the middle of the Bahamas. What they started off in August thinking, oh, we'll sail week two tops. And now it's in October and they haven't seen land. And luckily there was the guy up there keeping an eye out, because if he hadn't, they might have sailed right past it. And could you imagine waking up in the middle of the night? The redcoats are coming. The redcoats are coming. Had that not taken place, had there not been somebody looking out for that, we might still all be speaking with a British accent. Pip, pip, cheerio, good day, governor, all that rot. We needed, throughout history, throughout our lives, we've needed people to look out for us. We've needed watchmen in our lives. It is especially important in the church. Spiritually, we need watchmen. The scripture that James read to us today, and I appreciate James doing that, was taken from Ezekiel 3, and starting in verse 17, we see not only a warning, but some commands. It says, "Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore, hear a word from my mouth and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him no warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity. But his blood I will require at your hand. Yet if you warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul." Just those few verses speak volumes. We are told to be watchmen. And to warn others. But you know what? They're going to be held accountable whether they're told or not. The consequences, if we don't tell them, is on us. But if we tell them and they refuse, they shrug their shoulders, kind of like we were discussing today in Bible class, about how many times did Pharaoh have an opportunity to turn from his evil ways? He had the opportunity, but he chose not to. And they're still going to suffer. But if you've warned them, it's on them. And we are told that. Paul said something very similar to the Galatians in 4:16. He says, "Have I become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" How many times does that happen religiously? Because the truth is shared, all of a sudden, you're the bad guy. I don't want to hear it. You know what? The truth is still the truth, whether you yield to it or not. We get the opportunity to yield. We get the opportunity to humble ourselves, as was talked about in class, and to yield to God's warnings. Paul gave Timothy a warning. He says, "Be diligent, Timothy. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. This is the New King James Version translation. I really, really like the King James Version that says, study to show yourself approved to God, but be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. We have to study so we can rightly divide God's word to be able to warn people of the proper warnings that God wants us to tell them the truth that lays before them. And later in 2 Timothy, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. We could end right there. Preach the word. Not what you want, not the flavor of the month. Preach the word of God. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And he tells him why. He says, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables. But you be watchful in all things. Endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. This applies to us as much as Paul was writing to Timothy. For us to preach the word of God, to warn those who are in sin, that the consequences, if they don't change, will be damnation. And we're going to face the same things that Timothy did. Some people won't want to listen to us. We will become their enemy because we're teaching them the truth, like Paul told the Galatians. People are going to pile up their own teachers, their own little yes men that will teach them whatever they want to hear. But you preach the word. And all it is disregard for Scripture, disregard for God's Word, some red flags that we might encounter with this is when we hear people preaching or teaching, I think, I feel, seems to me, in my opinion, I don't mean this rude, not at all. Who cares about your opinion? When it comes to religion, nobody cares. Nobody cares what you think. Nobody cares what I think. What does God say about it? That's the important thing. And I didn't mean that to come across rude. Nobody cares what we think. How we feel. It's what does God say about an issue? Some of the things we may have to deal with in the preaching. We may encounter people that we have to convince that baptism isn't essential for salvation. That you know, how many times have you run across somebody talking across the bushes of your neighbor, you know, as long as you have a good heart. Somebody in the work cubicle next to you, you know, as long as you're a good person, you know, we're all going to the same place. We're just getting there different directions. Would God condemn good people to hell? I've heard people say that. something that's, you know, something that's really come out with the feminist movement of the last few years. Why deny women the opportunity to preach, to serve the Lord's Supper, to lead and be an elder? And there's even some religious groups that have the Church of Christ sign hanging out front that do that. God loves us. God wants us to be happy, regardless of our lifestyle. And we got to encounter that. Whether it be about our conduct, how we conduct ourselves in the world, or we had a family thing. That's why we're missing worship. Best thing I could advise if you're about a family thing, take your family to church. So, problem solved. Problem solved. Aunt Gertrude's in town from Des Moines, Iowa, and we had, bring her to church with you and then go do whatever. Things about relationships that might be improper. The idea of once saved, always saved. That those are things that we will encounter as we preach those warnings, as we preach that sound doctrine that Paul was telling Timothy to preach. That's where we may encounter becoming an enemy to somebody because we're preaching the truth. Just want to end up, seeing that it's 17 till 10, I'd like to look at some verses that reinforce some are commands, some are some good reminders for us. Let's look at a few verses from God's Word. Not gonna see any I think, I feel, or my opinions here. First of all, it seems like a lot of people only talk about their feelings. Never, don't hear a lot of God's word coming from certain people in this religious world. Jesus, in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, he himself said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Jesus himself gives us a warning. Keep your eyes open, because not everything is always as it seems. They will come to you. They may look like sheep, but they're not sheep. They're not sheep. You will know them by their fruits. In 1 Corinthians, Paul told the Christians in Corinth, he says, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain." By doing these things, by being a watchman for me, it's not that effort is not going to go unwasted. Your labor that you endure for Christ is not going to go unnoticed. It's not in vain. But you have the requirement. You be steadfast, immovable. When it comes to the I thinks and I feel, what color do we paint the wall? Yield. It doesn't matter. But when it comes to doctrine, you be immovable. You draw that line in the sand, dig your heels in, and with love and kindness, you don't budge on those things. Next chapter, just a few verses later, he continues his thought and he says, "Watch. Stand fast in the faith." These are military terms. Almost as if he's giving commands to the troops. which he is. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Paul would write to the Philippians, he says, "Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern, for many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ." Enemies. I've told you before. But you join me in following my example and note those. Oh, well, we don't want to gossip. This is not gossip. This is not gossip. Gossip is, "Hey, Frank, got to tell you a story about Michael here. You know, blah, 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 blah." That's gossip. Michael says whatever he says is not true. Innocent of all charges. This is being a watchman. You note those people that teach false doctrine and you let others be aware of it. We've had a warning that it's going to be on us if we don't warn the people. In Acts 20, Paul says, "For I know this, that after my departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock." Very similar to what he told Timothy. He says, because they have itching ears, they'll surround themselves with people that will teach what they want to hear. Paul here is talking about comparing them to savage wolves. Like Jesus said, they'll come to you in sheep's clothing. But they'll rip a congregation up. You watch and you be steadfast. In Romans 16, 17, Paul wrote, "Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you learned, and avoid them. Not that might irritate you personally." Brethren, know those who irritate you. No. Note those who cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you've learned. Avoid them like the plague. Because if you don't avoid them, if you accept them, you're condoning them. If you play the ostrich game, shut up, put your head in the ground, act, it'll go away. No, it won't. Galatians 5, Paul addresses that issue. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. If not taken care of, a disease gets worse. An illness gets worse. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. In Hebrews, it says, talking about the elders, "Obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you." Those elders that watch over a congregation, they're going to have to give an account for their actions, for their leadership. Do you think they're being watchmen? You think they're keeping an eye out and giving warnings, where we're told, obey them and be submissive to their counsel? Jesus, in doing so, is warning his followers, kind of like Paul said, you know, "Have I become an enemy because I tell you the truth?" Jesus tells them, "And you will be hated by all for my name's sake." But he who endures to the end will be saved. You've got to stand up. You've got to remain faithful. You've got to remain steadfast to the end. It may not always be easy. It rarely is. We get it. How many trials and fires have we gone through spiritually? But we're still here. Individually, the things we've endured for the cause of Christ, the things we've turned from. A buddy of mine sent me a little message yesterday. I knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, I buried my old self and I never visit him at the cemetery. For his name's sake, what we must endure. We've put to death an old person. But yet we try to resurrect him. We try to drag him. It's Weekend at Bernie's. We keep him as alive as long as we can. But we put to death that old person. And Jesus says, you're going to be hated by some for me. But endure to the end. And then he says something very similar through the Apostle John in Revelation. Be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. We have to. What is the alternative? Giving in? Throwing our hands up and stopping? Retreating? Never, you know, retreat and surrender is not in those words of be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We are told to be a watchman. A watchman and take heed. And the responsibility is we have to, kind of like with the gospel, we have to share the seed. It's not up to us for them to accept the seed or not. We have to plant. Case closed. It's up to God for the growth. We have to be the watchman. We have to do the warnings of doctrine. If they don't heed, it's on them. We don't warn, it's on us. We don't preach, it's on us. What did Paul say? Woe to me if I don't preach. Somebody that has that knowledge, somebody that has that opening of salvation and keeps it secret, woe on him. I want to encourage you to be a watchman. How did we do on time? 11:32 without even a working clock. Look at that. Amazing.
You're literally a watchman.
I'm a watchman. That's what it's saying. Be a watchman. As we go through this next week, let's be watchmen for the Word of God, for our own. Be a watchman for ourselves first. If we can help you, if there's anything, anybody that needs to respond to the invitation through prayer, through repentance, through baptism. If you have not been baptized, last I checked, I'm not tall enough to see over. Yeah, it looks like there's water in there. We are ready to baptize you if you are ready to be baptized. Whatever your need, please come forward as Michael leads us in the invitation song. I asked Michael to pick this song. I appreciate it because it kind of goes along with this idea of being a watchman.